right. So, welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Here.
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Here.
Director Clint Weirich?
Here.
And would you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready to begin? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Anyone have any reason to reorder the agenda?
No.
All right. Then we shall proceed as published and move on to public comments for items not appearing on tonight's agenda. So since we do have technically somebody here, open public comment. And seeing no one, will close public comment and move on to item 5. This is our consent agenda. You can see it on the screen. 5A is approval of warrants. 5B, approval of meeting minutes of June 21st, 2023. And 5C is request approval to purchase Thomas Screw Conveyor. Does anyone have questions of staff?
No.
Okay, then we'll open up public comment. And seeing no one, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board for discussion and possible actions. Anyone want to make a motion?
Sure. I'll move to present the consent agenda as published.
I'll second it.
We have a motion to second. Any discussion?
Nope.
All right. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Clint Weirich?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, so item 6A is the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project update, and I will turn it over to Mr. Gent and company.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is a quarterly update to the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project. We've been doing these quarterly for about 2.5 years now. And this evening, Eileen Shields with MKN and Associates, who's been providing engineering support and during the project development, is here to provide the quarterly update. Ms. Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Gent. Can you all hear me okay? I suppose so. It's not too far away. Eileen Shields with MKN. Here to provide the project update for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project. As you know, we've been working on this project. It's been under construction for about 2.5 years. JR Feelance is the construction company. M&S has been providing the construction management services. Kennedy Jenks is the design engineer, and MKN was retained to provide project management and assistance to district staff throughout the project. And so at the beginning of your staff report, you'll see that I'm presenting an issue that occurred in the month of July. I wanted to bring that out, bring it to the board's attention, and discuss where we're at with it. But our normal quarterly project update was not intended to cover the month of July, but it's a significant event that occurred that I wanted to bring to your attention. So I'm going to briefly describe it and then pause, and if you want to ask questions about that event, we can discuss it if you see fit before I move on to the rest of the update, but I'll leave that to your board to decide. On July 10th of this year, damage to the new secondary clarifier floor was discovered, and without reading through the whole thing, they did some investigation and within a couple days discovered that there was a crack in the structural section of the clarifier floor. This clarifier is a large concrete structure. It's nearly 100 feet in diameter, and it's primarily below grade, partially above grade. It's intended to serve as a settling tank, and there's a metal, you know, steel clarifier mechanism that turns very slowly within the clarifier. So the crack was discovered. You might know that there's high groundwater on the site. At that time, the clarifier had been drained and groundwater is coming up through the crack. In conjunction with this structural fault, they discovered that the clarifier arm is also on cant. It's tilted slightly. So We've been meeting at length with the various consultants and the contractor on the project to discuss the issue. We've done physical investigations. The clarifier mechanism manufacturer was on site to do an investigation and provided some recommendations for additional investigation and repair for re-leveling. We are in the midst of the investigation phase and data gathering phase. So, you know, unfortunately, this is going to have schedule and budget impacts on the project. We really don't know the extent or, you know, how much, what, you know, orders of magnitude it's going to be at this time. But we do expect to have some results from these investigations within the coming weeks. And so we'll be working hard with the construction manager, with Jeremy. MKN retained the services of a structural engineer because we don't do structural in-house, and this does appear to be a structural issue, to help with investigation, to review some of the findings and recommendations from the various parties and provide additional input as a third party. So as that information becomes available, we'll be working to develop a recovery plan. We may be providing recommendations and or options for your input, but as soon as we have that available, we'll be coming back to the board to update you. So I don't know if it's appropriate if we want to pause for questions on that specific issue.
Let's check. And I personally have questions.
Well, go ahead and then I'll.
Yeah, just one of the most media ones is at this stage, construction continues though, correct?
Construction continues. We were, you know, the contractor was preparing to move into a startup phase, which involves that secondary clarifier. And it's starting up the aeration basin and the secondary clarifier. They work together kind of as a team. But they are moving to do whatever they can start up on the aeration basin itself. So they're continuing with some, you know, duct work, some electrical, some site work, you know, whatever they can do, they're continuing. They're not halted. But it will, that was the critical path, that startup. So it's shifting all of that out.
Gotcha. And the only other thing too is, yeah, the silver lining part too is basically since it was identified now too, and everyone's on site who's able to do the work, the benefit is though if this was actually discovered much later after construction was completed, we'd be in bigger trouble. But since everyone's there, it's actually, even though there's going to be delays, the delays, you know, in the big picture are minimized because it was recognized at this stage. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It took us probably as a team a few days to get to that silver lining as well, you know, after the initial, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? And what does this mean? But it's been described by a few people on the team, like at least we had a contractor on site, mobilized there with a lot of equipment and a lot of labor, you know, and the design team is engaged already. So this is something that, you know, you have all the parties contracted and at play to assess and get it fixed. So it is a silver lining. We would hate to find this years down the road. That'd be a bigger deal.
And so, thank you for the district staff. Those are all my questions.
Sorry. My question really is, it is a significant hit to the budget. As I saw in the initial email, I think the number was $3 million-ish, maybe.
I'm not sure where that would have.
So my initial email, I think I said, could be between 500,000 and 3 million. It was just a broad range because 3 million would be a complete reconstruction of the clarifier.
That was what my question was. Yeah. What would get us there? And to what degree are we on the hook for that, or are ratepayers on the hook for that versus the responsibility of the contractor to give us a functioning project?
Right. Certainly, who's responsible is going to come down to determining the cause. But I think I stated in the staff report, you know, at this time, we don't see anything that points to the risk being held with the district. It appears that it's either a construction or a design or a material or some combination of things. If it were an earthquake or say we didn't realize the groundwater is as high as it was during the design, you know, and that was an unknown condition, or I don't know, what have you, some other unanticipated, couldn't have been known during design condition occurred, then the district, I believe, would be holding that risk.
So how long did you say the investigation would, like, when will we have some idea of a path forward and what that cause was?
I'm expecting a couple of weeks.
That's it?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, these things can unravel and cause additional questions and more tests and more investigation, but I'm hopeful that we'll have a pretty good idea within a couple of weeks. Would you agree with that, Mr. Gent?
Yeah, I would agree. The one noteworthy component is some of what we're investigating involves some concrete testing, which requires a 28-day cure time on the test sample. We're going to be resampling some of the concrete mixes. And so with that, we won't have that data until almost 30 days from today.
Oh, okay.
That's a good point, yeah.
Okay, so maybe more like 30 to 60 days kind of thing?
Yeah, we could make a determination with, there's the potential that a determination could be made without that data, but it's likely that both sides are gonna wanna see that data before anything's agreed upon.
Got it. And when you say both sides, do you mean the district and the contractor? Or there are subcontractors involved too, right?
Right. So there's contractors and subcontractors. When I'm referring to both sides right now, I'm referring to the designer and the general contractor.
Okay,
Phelons.
Got it.
Yeah. So there's really four type of failures. There can be a material failure, a construction mistake, or a design issue, or as Eileen alluded to, a changed condition or an unknown condition where, and that's would be the ownership that we would have on the risk because the designer wasn't aware. In this case, the groundwater levels were very well established and those were design components of the design for the structure. So the groundwater is not a changed condition. There's been no seismic activity or anything like that. So what we're looking at is the concrete mix and the design conditions, and we kind of have to recreate some of that independently to see if what we've been provided is adequate or not.
Got it. All right, thank you for that.
Just to picture, this is the floor of the unit, the concrete floor.
Yes.
Is it cracked all the way across? Is it just a, what
it's
kind
a
of a crack?
Relatively small crack in the grand scheme of things. I'm trying to recall, it might be, 12 to 24 inches.
I was going to say 12, yeah.
In
so
length.
Like from the outside in? Or is it like in
the,
just?
It is near the wall. It's about 4.5 feet off of the wall is where they found it.
And the water coming from the groundwater.
The water is coming up through the crack up from the ground. I should note that there is a 2-inch grout topping over the structural slab, and that had raised up and cracked, a much longer crack. That's what was initially discovered, and they broke that out very carefully and traced it back till they found the crack in the structural slab. So currently we have directed the contractor to remove the rest of the grout. We felt the need to inspect the rest of the floor to see if there's any additional cracking in that structural concrete slab.
So would there be any to have a repaired product versus, a solid product? Is there going to be anything that makes it being repaired, it won't be as substantial as it was if it had not had the crack? Is
Are
it better
saying
to,
it's repair as good as new?
Yeah. I mean, what...
There, depending on what's found, right, there are concrete repair, crack repair products that are very worthy and vetted and used many times. I think I heard a structural engineer say that, that crack repair is going to last longer than your slab itself.
Okay.
But we need to vet all angles and understand the cause before we can really confidently provide a recommendation for the repair. Yeah.
When you said above grade and below grade, you're talking about the slab on the bottom. Some of it is above, some is below the...
Talking about the clarifier as a whole.
The
walls do come up. It's circular, cylindrical, if you will.
Right.
And the walls do come up above grade. maybe like 8 feet above grade, 9 feet above grade, and then there's about 11 to 12 feet below grade. So that slab is down.
It's down in the
11 to 12 feet under the ground surface.
All right, I think that was it. I think everything else.
All right, why don't we continue with your regularly scheduled program?
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so as mentioned, this update covers the months of February through June of 2023. Right up front, we got to acknowledge the fact that the schedule's been impacted by delays in receipt of critical equipment that's needed for startup and operation. I think we talked with your board about this at in maybe the previous couple of months. So the airflow control valves and the dissolved oxygen probes were both caused some delay. And so that's reflected here in your schedule summary. I noticed as I was reviewing in preparation for tonight's meeting that I did have an error in this first table on page 2. The contract time elapsed is noted in this table as 856 days, and that's inaccurate, as is the column below that notes the contract time remaining. So this table, per note 2 at the bottom of the table, was drafted on July 21st of 2023, and so the contract time elapsed at that time. It was 907 days, and the remaining is a negative 3. We are beyond our contracted duration term. The contractor in their June update anticipated a scheduled completion date of September 20th, 2023. There's a caveat that did not have an understanding of the issues with the secondary clarifier. So as of today, we are 15 days past contract. Critical path activities consist of this phase D functional testing, which is the testing of the aeration basins and the secondary clarifier number 2, startup and commissioning. I mentioned some of the delays were due to that equipment being delayed in delivery, but there were also some issues with the motor management relays and bringing the secondary clarifier 1 online. The next section provides a budget summary. The current contract is about $27.4 million. That includes a little over $422,000 in contract changes or approved change orders for a change order percentage of 1.54%. Our percent complete by cost is about 94%. We're getting towards the end of the project. And trying to move as quickly as we can. So some of those change orders that were approved during this term of February through June are described below. It's change orders number 12 through 15, four change orders totaling just over $38,000. The first one resulted in a credit to the district. There were some modifications to a flood wall that was covered under change order 13. Issues that couldn't have been anticipated during design or when the contractor bid on it. We added some bird deterrents to the aeration basins to try and reduce the birds and nuisance up there for the operators and just additional waste into your nice new equipment. And then we also installed some hoses and hose racks on the secondary clarifier that'll help also with cleaning and operations. So the overall project budget is summarized in the next table. As mentioned, our subtotal current construction contract is about $27.4 million. We've spent about $25.8 million, resulting in a remaining construction contract amount of about $1.5 million. We still do hold a construction contingency of approximately $2.7 million. And professional services costs are largely extended, although you do have two items up in front of your board today to consider some extensions for professional services, including construction management and design engineering. We are holding a professional services contingency of just over $100,000. So our total budget stands at $37.4 million. Spent to date, $32.3. We have a little over $5 million as a balance. So summary of work, I'm not going to go through each item, but of course, if you have any questions on them, I'm here to help with that. February was much, a lot of work on the secondary clarifier, along with some electrical. That mechanism arrived in March, and they got right to work on it, set it in position, worked on the RAS well, which is associated with the secondary clarifier. Did some storm drains, piping, duct banks, electrical testing. In April, they coated the mechanism, continued installation, completed the RAS wet well, and did some work on the blower building, some functional testing on the blowers for the aeration basins, continued with electrical. In May, they got that SC mechanism completed and tested out. The grout was placed, and they performed startup of that secondary clarifier one. So that's really what moved us into June. They completed that commissioning, and then in July, they were getting ready. You know, they had shifted all the operation over to secondary clarifier one. We're getting ready to use secondary clarifier 2 for startup of the aeration basins. In June, they continued the site work, fine grading, and some electrical work at the aeration basins. So anticipated upcoming work, really we need to identify the cause and repair secondary clarifier 2. That needs to happen before they can move on with functional testing and startup and commissioning. So again, we're hard at it, we're tracking our time. We're gonna come back to your board with the findings and recommendations for that repair. Once that's completed, or excuse me, Feelance, during this time, they're gonna start the 14-day startup of the equipment. So they can run that aeration basin in a circle, basically, and just make sure everything's working as anticipated. So that's been pulled out of the larger startup. They can continue site work. They've got flat work and fine grading to complete. They're still working on the flood wall. Taft's doing some lighting at the aeration basins and completing some punch list items. So there's a lot of instrumentation and operations and electrical work that they're testing and vetting and checking and fixing. They'll have subcontractors on site to do the SCADA testing, make sure that system's working. And then we also are tracking delivery of the new mechanism for primary clarifier 1. If you recall, the district's existing primary clarifier was damaged during an electrical shutdown. And so we've directed Feelance to fix that. That happened several months ago. We're anticipating that delivery in mid-September, so that had been delayed by a couple of months. We have the executive summaries for the months of February through June attached to the staff report, as well as photos of the construction that's occurred during the same months. And then I've also attached the full detail on the project budget status. That's all I have this evening. If you have any questions, I'm happy to attempt to answer them.
All right, let's see if anybody has questions about the second half of your presentation. Any questions?
Just to be clear, so what you were saying is all the other startups and things are going to continue, just nothing to do with the secondary clarifier. Now there is still work continuing. We're not at a stop waiting for this.
We're not stopped at this time. Yeah, there is work that they can continue to do, but in order to get that aeration basin online and working for your district, they need that secondary clarifier. So they cannot fully start up the aeration basin and commission it and get it into operation until the secondary clarifier is ready to go.
So then where we're at, we're still doing the testing and the investigations. And that'll be another 30 to 60 days, I think.
Yeah, and we hope to, yeah.
And then that repair will be, it'll have to be all the engineering and things like that to do the repair. And then...
It's hard to guess how long that might take.
Don't know. What about what we're left in the $5 million budget? Jeremy, are we okay with them?
Yeah, so currently there's no expectation that these cost overruns would be a direct cost to the district, and the $5 million remaining would seem adequate to
finish.
To advance the project, even if we, you know, had to go through a more complicated process to resolve the issues, we could still front the money to move forward with the project and pursue recovery. That would be one option. But we do have the ability, we can direct Phelons to continue the work once we understand what the solution is, and they'll move forward, and then their recourse is to, if they feel that our direction was unjust, they have to claim it against us, and they would go through that process. And that's where it might get complicated if the design issue comes into play. I think there's some stuff we'll have to, work through with even legal counsel and maybe even some closed session items to discuss and figure out how the best way to approach this. But I don't see any need to increase the budget at this time or to try to identify more funding for the project.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions? All right, so this is a receive and file. Thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed the drive.
Thank you.
In our beautiful area.
Thank you.
So that takes us to item 6B. This is to authorize the execution of a contract amendment number 7 for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project construction phase engineering services with Kennedy Jenks Consultants, pending USDA concurrence.
So, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Yes, the item before you is, actually the next two items are fairly similar as far as their causation. So as Ms. Shields alluded to earlier on the redundancy update, the project is beyond its working days. And so both Kennedy Jenks, which is the item before you now, had anticipated construction being complete by this date on their contract. And so based on the schedule overrun, we needed to continue to pay Kennedy Jenks for their engineering services. So that's what the item is intended to do. And as noted in the staff report, this doesn't include additional costs for the schedule overrun for the secondary clarifier number 2 failure. So this was developed before that item was identified. So based on our June understanding of construction completing in September, this is what that's made to do, is it's carry them through September. So what I'm alluding to is that there'll be another item most likely to continue beyond once we get the secondary clarifier going. So currently, from a funding standpoint, we are in liquidated damages of, the amount is $3,500 a day that the contractor is being deducted for the schedule overrun. And that $3,500 a day is made to do just what we're doing in front of you, is to continue those engineering and inspection services. That's what the formula, we talked about this a little bit during the last update, but that's what they're formulaically, and that's all you're allowed to claim as your actual costs. And so that was what was in the contract. It was estimated as $3,500, and we're really close to that, the total between these two contract amendments. So the recommendation is to authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment for the construction phase design engineering services for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with Kennedy Jenks Consultants in the amount of $49,549 pending USDA concurrence. And what that means is they always expect our board to approve it first before we show it to them, and it's always been just administrative for them once we provide it. So with that, I'll conclude my report and open it up for any questions you might have.
All right, thank you. Let's see if there's questions. Any questions?
And obviously, you know, this depends on how the investigation goes or everything else. But as far as the returning of these, you know, since this was developed, you know, without the recent situation in mind, is it likely to come before the board for, you know, basically the same thing too, you know, with the clarifier in mind later this year or next year?
It would be later this year. So by the end of September, I would anticipate this approval would be exhausted, and if the and the project's likely to go beyond that because of these damages, we would probably at the September or October meeting, you would see this coming back. Probably October.
Thank you.
All right, any questions? All right, nor do I. And we'll open up public comment, and seeing no one to make public comment, we'll close that and bring it back to the board for discussion or action. Would anyone like to discuss or make a motion?
I'll make the motion that we authorize the execution of the contract amendment number one for the wastewater treatment. Number seven? Am I on the wrong one? Did you say number seven?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're on 6C. This is 6B.
Oh, okay. Number seven. With Kennedy Jinks Consultants, pending USDA concurrence.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Wyrick?
Yes.
All right, and that takes us to the sister item, 6C. I imagine you'll have a brief report for
us.
Yeah,
so good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is to authorize the execution of contract amendment number one for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project construction management services with M&S engineers, pending USDA occurrence. So the recommendation here is to authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment for construction management services for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with M&S Engineers Incorporated in the amount of $285,827 pending USDA occurrence. And so just briefly, so M&S is our eyes and who's on the, there's two people full-time on site watching everything the contractor does, providing engineering and inspection services. And so this amount is to continue their monthly service through the end of September. And for the same reasons, it's the delay and the costs are being covered by the liquidated damages. And so with that, I'll open it for questions.
All right, any questions? We'll open up public comment. And again, seeing no one, we'll close public comment. Would someone like to make a motion? Go ahead.
Sure. I'll move to authorize execution of contract amendment number one for, wastewater treatment plant. Whenever the acronyms gets off, so strike that part. But yeah, for wastewater treatment plant redundancy project construction management services with M&S Engineers, Inc., pending USDA concurrence.
I second it.
All right. Any discussion? All right. We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Clint Wyrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. And we have our administrator and plant operations report. I don't know who's going first, but you guys can.
I'll be brief and just go first, Mike. Yeah, so I'll jump in here. So a couple district administrator's report here. Couple quick items. Redundancy project we covered with a quarterly update tonight, so nothing in my administrator's report. So some miscellaneous items. We continue to meet with the Central Coast Blue project team. Actually, we had a meeting today to discuss some of their flows. District conducted a kickoff meeting on the 19th for the new cogeneration system. We met with PG&E and their third party Southland that's developing the project on PG&E and our behalf. The district is participating in a countywide 5-year multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan update, as all of your agencies are as well. County OES is acquiring grant funding for the update. Plant tours kind of tied back to the earlier comment. So PG&E Southland, they came to for the kickoff meeting, and then they wanted a tour of the plant, so we gave them that tour. Another miscellaneous item I wanted to share with your board. As you're aware, Michael Jones has been out on paternity leave and had initially intended to move to Sacramento and start his family up there, but has recently decided that he will be returning to service at the sanitation district. And that will he will be back in service on Monday. So we're happy to welcome him back to the team. And then just a couple tentative items. So we'll definitely be updating you at the September meeting on the secondary clarifier issue. And then other than that, it's the only anticipated thing is regular business. And with that concludes my administrator's report. And we can do questions now or at the end.
Let's see, any questions for no. First half? All right, let's go for bring it home.
Good evening, members of the board. During the reporting period of June 1st through... During the reporting period of June 1st through June 30th, there were no violations of the district's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, the NPDES permit to report. All process values were within permit limitations. Operations and maintenance tasks completed during this period, check and mark underground service alerts, prep temporary chemical lines for removal, secondary clarifier number one placed back in service, maintain and monitor aeration basins, maintenance at secondary clarifier number one sump, replace filter, neutralization tank, and P-trap on boiler, repair crack in chlorine tank valve at sight glass and connection hose, replace 1-inch ball valve at backside of FFR, wash down secondary clarifier two as it drains, drain aeration basins as needed, wash down while being emptied, ammonia sampling at CCT, replace loader stairs, prep sludge beds for dewatering, create procedure for RDT tie-in, test surface functionality with SCADA off-site, fence clearing, fence line clearing by CMC fire crew. During that period, we also, the work orders completed were the FFR VFD cabinet cleaning, monthly FFR maintenance, cleaning and sampling, digester blanket maintenance, semi-annual fan maintenance, the FFR supply and exhaust fans, semi-annual fan maintenance, MCC vent, semi-annual fan maintenance, cogen exhaust, H&A filter service, monthly ISCO maintenance, algae control at secondary clarifier, water champ maintenance, polymer pump at splitter box maintenance, final clarifier drive maintenance, monthly 6-inch trash pump maintenance, annual sump pump maintenance at the FFR, annual sump pump maintenance at primary clarifier number one, annual sump pump maintenance at plant drain number two, the monthly safety walk, and annual flow meter calibration by outside vendor. On the preventative maintenance section, we were completed inspection and cleaning of the digester, vacuum pressure relief valves, forklift, monthly maintenance, replacing the desiccators and equipment control panels, test run the emergency generator and emergency bypass pump, derag primary clarifier sludge pumps, rinse ORP probes, flush plant sump pumps, primary clarifier algae control, monthly cart maintenance, loader preventative maintenance, calibrate various plant chemical dosing pumps. In our training section, staff participated in training. We had new staff training on the forklift, new staff training on the street sweeper, new staff training on the loader. Our new staff members, our OITs, continue to work through their new hire packets, proper lifting procedures to remove pumps from the aeration basins, draining the aeration basins, and new OIT staff members begin shadow training with operations and lab staff. We had two call-outs during this period. Friday, June 16th at 7:18, we had high digester number two sump alarm. Upon arrival, the operator performed a visual inspection to confirm high level in the digester two sump. The operator began to wash down the sump, pump it manually, and repeat until normal operation resumed. And Saturday, June 17th, there was a power outage. Upon arrival at the plant, the operator confirmed that both generators were running, all plant equipment has power and functioning normally. Once PG&E power is back online, all equipment is rechecked and alarms reset. The non-serious violations are what we have on record. February 15th, 2023, we had a daily maximum fecal. This expires shortly on August 14th, 2023. On February 21st, we had another daily max fecal. That expires, exceedance expires on August 20th. And April 23, we had a daily maximum fecal coliform exceedance, which expires on October 19th. And after that, we have some pictures of our new operators in training, performing their training on the forklift. And then we have pictures of staff performing draining of the aeration basins. That concludes these plant operations report, and I can answer any questions if there are any.
Questions?
I just want to, on these non-serious violations, so there is a penalty of $3,000 if there's more than four. So if these expire within 6 months from February, if they expire, then it's...
So as each one on the dates there, so on February 14th, one will drop off. And then we'll be out of
12 more days.
It's August. 12 days. We have 12 days.
So it just
one will drop off, and then we would have to have another one to be back in that kind of danger zone. So we have two that drop off this month.
So we're in good shape there. We just keep.
I don't want to jinx anything.
That's right.
But things are looking good right now.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? All right, then that's we'll receive those reports, and item 7 is board member communications. Any communications, Director Austin?
I have nothing. So.
Director Wyrick?
Yeah, I'll just highlight one thing is on the City of Verbeach side is talking about its sewer septic ordinance being redone, and one thing that came from that discussion is related to some of the fees that the sanitation district does. Even though that ordinance is not, you know, hasn't done first reading, second reading, voted to finalization yet, one of the board members, whoever's here in Sophia, will bring that topic of the fees related to those parts on septic in Grover Beach to the district as far as question of hardship program. So it's nothing urgent. It's just something to highlight that'll be brought up later. But there's more background to it. It's just I'm just trying to bring it up the issue and stuff now so it's not surprised later on. It's a different program that doesn't exist within the district. So nothing urgent, though.
I am thoroughly confused by that.
What Director Wyrick is referring to is so the City of Grover Beach still has several properties on septic. Some of them are in an industrial zone, and they're in the process of forcing them onto sanitary sewer. And so with that, some of the Grover Council was concerned about if there were residential people that had a hardship that maybe they could, instead, when they're forced, they have to pay connection fees and then the rates and charges, and whether the connection fee could be done on a payment basis rather than all up front since they were being forced off of the. And so either Director Wyrick or Director Bright will be discussing this in the future, asking your board to consider whether the district would have a way or a method to basically honor a delayed payment program for a handful of property owners. And so I think that's the basis of the type of program that's, and they would have to prove their financial impact and that they had a hardship. And there's different methods to do that, and that would be discussed and came up with. But it's certainly something that can be discussed. These programs are implemented by these type of districts, and so we can discuss that when the city council moves forward with their ordinance update.
So these are hookup fees that would be paid to the district, not to the City of Grover Beach?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Got it. All right. Great.
And thank you for explaining that in a way that actually makes sense.
It was just a lot to take in just a moment, and I'd not heard that before. So. All right. Well, I don't have anything except for to say happy summer. And Eileen, thank you for making the trip. And
thank you.
Would there be any, just due to all the changing nature of what's going on, is there any reason to suspect we might go to a meeting 2 weeks from now, or are we probably just going to go till the first meeting of September?
We'll be in September.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, then that takes us to adjournment. We'll see you in 4 weeks, everybody.